would be easier to remember if you remember. It's just like a Brillo pad, only leave the O off. Then you can always remember the name.
Okay.
And I came from Wisconsin, and I'm near Madison, Wisconsin. And if you're studying the states and capitals, you'll know that Madison is the capital of Wisconsin. And I lived on a farm. I was somewhat poor. And because we had to keep warm, we made our own clothes. My mother didn't sew, but my grandmother did, and she only lived a half a mile away. And to walk a half a mile really wasn't a problem. You walked everywhere. And so when no one was looking, I skipped off to my grandmother's, and she was always quilting. But does anyone know what a quilt is?
It's something that you keep warm with in the night when it's real freezing, and it's like a big, gigantic blanket.
Okay, a quilt is really a sandwich. This is a bit wet.
Wet sandwich.
But anyway, it'll show you what we're talking about when we're talking about a sandwich. You know that when you make a peanut butter sandwich or a meat sandwich, here's the bottom piece of bread, here's the top piece of bread, and the batting is the meat. And I will take some of the basting out so that you can feel the batting in it. Well, I mean, I think I'm going to get the basting here now.
You need a pair of scissors?
No. Quilters can always get it, okay? And then you can feel it, okay? And this is very thin because we live in Florida. But because I lived in Minnesota, we used them much fatter, okay? And when you use a fatter batting, it's called extra loft. And that keeps us warm because it amused me that someone said when they're very cold, I'm waiting for that very cold day this year, and I don't think we're ever going to get it. But anyway. And we believe that, I see you have patterns in front of you. Well, we believe the first pattern looked like this. And weren't you talking about pieces, how to make them? Old things? Somebody's pajamas or something or other. Okay, this was probably somebody's dress and somebody's shirt and somebody's slip or whatever. And it was put together with whatever you had, and you cut it in a square, which had to be very exacting. So now you had to be very good in arithmetic. And you cut them out, and then you put it how? A bottom, a batting, and the top, okay?
When I grew it, Jeremy used to see it for a book catalog page.
Yes.
That's what we measured them
on. That's right. Anything. And if you drew a circle, no such thing as compasses and all of these things and rulers. If you wanted a circle, what do you think you did? You either used a saucer, used the teacup, breakfast plate, or dinner plate. And if you needed it bigger, you used the plate that you put a salad or your meat platter, whatever. Mama and Grandma didn't have all these fancy things that I have in a particular bag over here, you know, compasses and fancy markers and all those things. We just didn't have them. A pencil and whatever was in the kitchen. And we saved cardboard for patterns all the time, okay? We believe that this is your first real pattern with colors that somewhat matched. And that is called a nine patch. And I see you don't have it on there. But nine patch, and I made this for my son, okay? And we think that probably was your first pattern. Then we believe that this is the second, and all these ladies did, remember, they did not have a good education like you do. Some of the mothers only went to first, second, or third grade. Maybe they went one grade, then they had help at home, and maybe they came back. And all they did was tip the corners off of this nine patch, and then it was called shoe fly. And there's an actual song, Shoe Fly Pie and Apple Pan Dowdy. So that's how some of your quilt blocks were made. And I see you have bear's paw, because remember, if you lived in Minnesota or Wisconsin, there were lots of bears. Now, do you know which one is the bear paw on your page that you have in front of you?
Yes.
It's the middle one, right? Okay, and the bottom one, I see you have a different name, but many patterns have three names. And the one on the bottom might have the name Pickle Dish. Has nothing to do with it. But once in a while, patterns have three and four names, and I have to be very careful. If I would have an older lady here, she'd say, now, don't you know the name of that? But that's because she learned it in Pennsylvania. But because I'm in Wisconsin, it got a different name. And my grandmother was the one who taught me to quilt. So for the fun of it, I brought my grandmother's slate. It's a double one. It's a fancy one. It isn't fancy to you, but you did your arithmetic on the inside because you never wanted that washed away. And then you did your spelling here because that didn't make much difference. And on this side, whatever lesson you didn't want wiped away, you have to walk very carefully, okay? Then this is the kind of shoe that I wore during that time. So you know that some of the patterns we're talking about are really old. And you put that shoe on with a button. Also, the clothes I have on personify what they wore those days, a fancy blouse, but always a dark skirt and dark shoes, because we did not wash everything every single solitary day. One other thing that wasn't asked in the other class is, how did we get some of our patterns if we could afford to buy good batting? Around the batting, which is Mountain Mist and the oldest batting companies there are, on the inside was always a pattern. And they were very exacting. They also gave you all of the yardage, but they also told you exactly what colors to make it, and no one ever deviated. I had 50 of these at one time, never thought they were worth much, gave them away like a drunken sailor, and now I would give my right foot for all of them back, and all I have is three or four. But every month, a new pattern came on the inside wrapped around the batting. I also drove at the age of 11. I would take my grandmother shopping, and she was always talking to the clerk, and I never knew why. What she was doing, she would try to get the clerk to kind of look underneath so she'd get a new pattern so that she could be the affluent one of the neighborhood and teach them how to do it. And this, you wouldn't believe what the name of this one is. It's called Drunkard's Path.
Anybody can see why it might be called that?
Why? Because it's wavy like that.
That's right. Doesn't make much sense, does it?
And what's it called again? Drunkard's what?
Drunkard's Path. Okay? And that's the second square that I teach in my classes. The very first one that I teach is the first one I showed you. And what's the name of that one? What was the name of this one?
Nine
patch. My second patch that I teach, Drunkard's Path. Okay? And on the inside of this one, I'm assuming is another pattern, I hope. Yes. Thank you. This is called Bermuda Blossoms.
Ooh, that's pretty.
And they still make the patterns. We used to get them for nothing. The other day I sent for a pattern, I sent $2 thinking that was enough because I hadn't sent for a pattern in a long time. They sent the money back and said, sorry lady, every one of them are worth $2.50 plus you have to order the catalog for another 50 cents plus you include 95 cents for postage, and pretty soon I was up to $5 for something that we used to get free.
Where did you get them?
Okay, they used to be wrapped around the batting. Okay, now you have to send to the company for them. They just send it in a plastic bag with nothing on them. They don't give you anything anymore.
Do you remember what the batting is, Matthew?
Here. Remember?
The inside.
Right.
It's like
the meat of the sandwich. Okay?
Yeah.
The meat of the sandwich.
Stuff inside.
Stuffing. All right. Whatever you want to say. That was, it was all rolled up.
Stuff,
and it was rolled up just like this. And then the paper rolled around it. And you went to the store and purchased it like that.
Oh, it's not going to go like that. And then
only it was much fatter. But this was wrapped around it just like this. And that's why my grandmother wanted the clerk to look through and see if she couldn't see what pattern was on there, because she didn't want the old one back again. She wanted new patterns.
Oh.
See? Here's a fountain pen that I had when I was in high school. As you can see, I almost came from the Stone Ages, right? You put that in a bottle, and you open that siphon, and it pulled the ink up. And here's an old, old holder that was given to me by an old lady.
Oh, this is pretty.
Then would you like to see the first quilt I ever made? I was 11. And we were kind of poor. And so we had feed sacks. I always show things bottom side up. This was a feed sack. And my mother washed the feed sack. Now, do you have any idea what I mean by a feed sack?
It's like a sack you put food in.
Put what in?
Food.
Fruit? No.
It's a sack that you put food in for the animals?
It was grain, or flour, or sugar, or grain for the animals. But it was always, you know, chicken feed, or it was flour, or it was sugar. And then your mother or your grandmother took them to the, what do you call them, laundry room? We call them the washroom. And she rubbed it with old P&G soap, or it was Phil's Naphtha, which was brown. And in Florida, I can't find a brown bar of soap to save my neck. Once in a while, Publix has about six. But that takes the colors out, and it takes all the marks out much faster than anything else. And she rubbed and rubbed and rubbed till almost the skin was off of her fingers. And finally the letters came out, and then she hung them on the line, which a lot of houses here in Florida, we can't hang things on the line. But she hung them out, and the sunshine did all the rest of the work for you. It bleached her all out. I cut it up in squares. I did the fancy work on it, or embroidery. She dyed every other square blue. But I have used this for a good many years. And I covered my children with it, and I've also covered my grandchildren with it. So it's lost its blue dye color. But I entered this in a 4-H contest, and I won first prize. Now, one that your grandmother did often was she took all of the favorite... Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. But what do you do with a husband that travels from A point to Z point as fast as you can, and you don't stop unless you either go want to eat or go to the bathroom?
You gotta get him to stop at one of those little countries.
You gotta chloroform them. Tell me about it. Okay, this is another old type of quilt that a lot of your grandmothers did. It's only a miniature, but on here was probably something from your graduation dress or confirmation dress or bar mitzvah or whatever it was you had that was special. She cut out pieces and she put them on squares. Yes?
My grandma did one of those, and sometimes when we're cold and we can't find anything else, we just use that.
Right, but it's special, isn't it? Do you have any idea how many hours grandma spent on that?
No.
Somebody take a guess how many hours.
Five?
I wish. You wouldn't even get the patterns cut out.
24.
Something like 5 or 6 months. Okay.
Yes. $8?
No, about 3 or 4 months. And that'd be doing it pretty fast.
My mom, she made a quilt when I was first born, and it's yellow and it has like a tiger, a leopard, and they're like blue and white, and it's pink and white. And it's real big, but it's not that big because I was small. I was about as big as a paper.
Right. You got a baby quilt.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's beautiful. I like it a lot. My dad wouldn't even let me take it out of the house for $1,000.
Oh, right. And now you keep it for your children, okay? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it to my great-grandchildren, that one, okay? Okay.
Is that it? And my grandma didn't do this, but my cousin's grandma did a big, almost bigger than me.
I bet it was a queen size quilt.
Yeah, it was really humongous, and she just put it up on the wall, and she put designs on it.
Huh?
She put it up on the wall right in front of our two little cousins that we had.
Oh, right. I have lots of quilts on my walls. And I have lots of quilts on my table. I put them everywhere. I have one on a frame. Now remember, this is little, but you have to imagine that you're talking about the same size quilt that you're talking about. And all we do is we put it on sticks. They don't have to be fancy. That's why I brought them every size and every color. And they're just put on sticks. And we have rags that have been either nailed or stapled. And then you put the pins in and you hold it on there. And then I quilt on that. Now, when Grandma did this, if the room wasn't big enough for her to have it down all the time, we made a pulley, and it was pulled to the ceiling while she fixed the meals and had supper. Then if she had the time to quilt, she went over to the side of the room, let the rope down, and then she quilted until she was ready to go to bed.
That was me pulling up and quilting.
That's right. And she's trying to talk me into doing that into the new apartment area, but I don't know if I could put four holes up in that ceiling. I don't think they would have the wood studding that we had years ago, so I doubt if it would hold. But I'd sure like to at times. Then I could do three quilts at a time. Okay? How about some more questions?
Do you have any questions? Who taught you to do it?
Okay. My grandmother taught me, because my mother didn't know a great deal about sewing. So I kind of relied on my grandmother. Remember me saying that I would skip down to my grandmother's half a mile? And she was doing it all the time. And she had a room that she called the parlor. And no one went into the parlor unless you really had fancy company or a funeral. As far as I was concerned, a funeral was about the only thing we used the thing for. You never used it. Everything was in perfect order. You had to dust the darn thing, but you never went in it. But Grandma did put a quilt up in it. Yes.
Where were you going?
Where was I born? Wisconsin. Okay.
How old were you when you started?
11.
When you taught your grandmother?
We think the neighbors taught my grandmother. Yes.
How old were you born?
When were you born? When was I born?
Yes. What year were you born?
1917. How old does that make?
69.
That's right. So how long has Mrs. Grill been quilting? And she started when she was
11.
At the age
of 11.
58. Now, I'd like to tell you something I didn't tell the other class. I quilted all the time, all these years. But there was a span of time from about 1939 to about 1969 that I didn't admit I was quilting. You know why? I was considered kind of odd. Nobody quilted during then. They were busy working in the factories. They were busy being secretaries. Now people were going to college. And ladies did not stay home as much as I did. And here I was, the odd one. So I would quilt at night when no one knew about it. Or I would quilt when no one was home. Oh, I would quilt in the basement, which you don't have here, but I had a big basement room that I quilted in and nobody knew about it. But I had quilts on all my beds, and my children don't know the difference between one or the other because they had all had quilts, but you know what? They were ashamed of their mother. And when they had their guests, what do you suppose I had to do?
Make the quilt.
No, they didn't want to see them.
So what'd you have to do?
Cover them all.
Yeah. I had to cover them up. I had to cover them up with a pretty bedspread because they thought we were so poor that we couldn't afford anything else, and they were ashamed of that. And so they called it 3:15 when they left school and said, "Would you please put a bedspread on?" They didn't want them to know they're that poor. And now, what do you think that son who used to call me? What do you think he does now? Well, I'll have to tell a story on him. He works for a big company, and he wants to give his secretary something special. So he called and he said, "Mom, would you send a quilt for her?" And I said, "What is it you want?" And he said, "Whatever you want to give away." So I gave a pretty yellow and a white one, and I sent it to him. I didn't hear anything for about 5 or 6 days, and when you ship a quilt, it's really risky business. And so finally I called and I said, "Did you get the quilt?" "Yes." I said, "How come you didn't write to me?" He said, "Because we're not going to give it to her." I said, "What do you mean you're not going to give it to her?" He said, "It's too pretty and you can't give it away."
And this is what happens to us. It was hard for us. It was hard for me to give him the yellow and white one. More questions?
Oh, you didn't get to see it.
Well, here, we'll just have to.
I didn't see it either.
Yes, what would you like to know? Do you know what patterns you use?
Do you enjoy doing the quilting?
Yes, I'm still on. I quilt from 8 to 8 almost every day. Or if I don't, I teach quilting almost from 8 to 10 every day. I teach every evening. So you know I like it.
What kind of
materials do you use? I use cotton and cotton blends. I guess I was one of the last ones to forsake the cotton blends. I was one of those little girls about your age, and I was always in a cotton or an organdy. And my mother, because I was an only child, ironed everything with Stark. And she wanted this little darling to look good on it. And so she wanted me to stand stiff to the poker so that I wouldn't be wrinkled. And somehow, I didn't give in to all cotton for a long time because I don't like wrinkles. I still don't like wrinkles.
What is that up there?
Okay, what is this?
I know, but what
I know.
Is that?
Well, what is this?
What you call it?
What do you keep a picture in?
Frame.
So it's our quilting?
Frame.
Okay. Now, this is when you have a big room, so that you understand. Because now, this is a miniature, and so a big one would cover up, like from here back. Last boy. And go over to this girl and back there. Now that takes a lot of room, and a lot of times I have to be in the garage because nobody wants me in the living room. Nobody wants me over their bed.
How long did it take to make the white one?
The white one?
Yeah, pizza girl.
3 months.
3 months.
What year did you move to Florida?
7 years ago. And it's very hard for me to get my classes to make quilts. They all want to make wall hangs or table runners. And they always ask me if they can do a pillow. And I tell them, no, you don't learn anything by just doing a pillow.
I didn't hear you either. Where were you?
Where was I? Minnesota. From Wisconsin, I lived in Minnesota, and there I did most of my married life, and then we came here to retire. Or be tired.
How long does it take to make that little miniature quilt?
It isn't even done. I just put it on here so that you could see it. All I did was piece it.
Well, how long did it take to make this?
It took me about 4 days just to get it ready for this, and I have a different method of this. This is speed piecing. And so that didn't take me as long. But if I were to do this by hand, it would take me a whole month just to piece it the way you see it. But I'm also learning that to be a teacher, I have to move up into something more modern. So I have to learn speed piecing, which your grandmother wouldn't be very happy about. But if you're going to stay with the teaching world, you have to update yourself. A lot of things I've had to turn around.
This is a
rookie. You're kidding. Well, you know what? We got caught in the rain, we get hooked on the what you call it, and we have lots of things that happen, but that's no problem. We know how to patch everything, okay?
Must have been real hard for you those 30 years when no one quilted except you and maybe a couple old people.
It was all very hard. Well, it was fun. No matter what. No matter what the difficult thing is, for quilters it's fun. Even if it doesn't fit, we just take it apart and do it over. And it's all love and fun the whole way.
If you quilt your finger for you, can you put it by your hand?
I pick my fingers every stitch I've ever taken.
I was going to ask you, have you ever learned to do it without working over your fingers?
No. You are not, you will not be a good quilter to know.
Because usually by the time I get a block or two made, I've got 3 fingers that look awful.
But we have learned in talking to quilters You cannot quit because your calluses go away and then you're in trouble. Then you back the blood. But we don't wash the blood out because we call that blood of love. So if there's a blood mark on your throat, please don't take it out. That's the blood of love that whoever the croaker was.
Because I'm using Pokemon here.
Did you see that blue thing?
No.
If you do not have a room large enough to hold this thing, then you somehow, even if you have to do it outside, you quilt it, and then you put it on this, and then you realize that you can roll this up, and it can stay on there. And this is really very narrow and can fit in the average living room or wherever you're allowed to be. Sometimes you're not allowed to be everywhere, but anyway, two of my friends, I convinced their husband that this is a decorative piece, and so instead of the organ, this is there. I have yet to convince my husband of this. He's hoping someday I'll quit, but I've got news for him. I'm going to put the cover on the pine box. I'm not going to quit. Does anyone know what I'm saying? What a pine box? What is a pine box? What's a pine box? It all came from the quilting age. What's a pine box? How many of you in Little House in the Prairie? Remember, she quilted like crazy.
I
remember. A pine box is what you put yourself in when they're going to bury you in the ground. Oh! See, we had all different kind of language those days. In fact, I talked to the young lady that brought me, and we were talking about wet feet. And she had holes in her soles, or she has holes in her soles. You know what we did when we had holes in our soles? We took the Sears and Roebuck catalog, folded it 7 times, and shoved it in our shoe. But in our pockets, we had 4 or 5 more pages, so that when that got wet, you took them out and put a new one in. Now I'm going to tell you something else about history. This could be a fat one, and then it's called a comforter. This means the batty, or the sandwich meat that you saw in there, is fatter than what was in the other. And this is tied, and now this we use in Minnesota, because we have 40 below. You have 85 degrees all the blessed time, I swear. You have no season, just one. You did? How cold did you get? Now when you say up north, what do you mean? New York?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, okay.
In North Carolina, we go up the mountain because it was snowy, and one time we had a big snowstorm, and we had to roll up the windows, and I'm sitting there, Dad turned off the air, and I'm sitting there freezing like half to death, and I turned pure white. I was sitting
there. Blue.
Yeah, blue, white.
Okay, white. So this quilt is big, it's fat, it's tight, it's put on your bed. Okay, years ago, we put what we call a rag or a protector. It was just basted across the top, and usually Grandpa had a beard, and it was usually waxed. And Mama, even though you thought she never put any makeup on, she did have some cream or Denver mud. And so she didn't want to get the quilt dirty. And so she put this extra piece on, and it was basted on. And this was washed about once a month, but the quilt was washed only about every 2 years. Also, you had ugly, ugly pillowcases, and so you made a pillow sham to go over the top, okay? But in Minnesota, you put it at the foot of your bed at night, and then you call it a foot warmer, so it had two purposes. And now what are you supposed to be doing with them? We use them on the buffet and use them for a smorgasbord. And anytime I use one of mine, they think I'm very extravagant, and how could I do that? But I have about 14 of them, so what is another pillow sham that gets a spot on it? To me, it's a standing joke in our house. I'm going to wear them out instead of my husband's second wife. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, then we're going to tell you about a bride's quilt. A bride's quilt, you, as a girl, should have made 12 quilts. You should have learned this because this was what was expected of you. And before you were married, someone made the 13th one, but that was usually your mother and all her friends or your friends. They sent you a block, it came back,
and then Mama and her best friends quilted it. And so when you were married, your husband carried you over the threshold with the 13th quilt. Okay.
So you have seven.
And this was mine I made when I went to college. A long time ago. Then my son decided he would like it, but it was too big for his bed. Instead of bringing it home, he just cut it off and made it to fit his. And so it really doesn't have a lot of value other than me, that I went to college with. Okay?
How long did it take you to make that?
All summer. All summer.
That's 12 weeks.
You made quilts, right? Did you make quilts all year round?
Or yes, we never stopped. Because see, I hear in the summertime, I don't want to take quilting lessons. It's too hot. There's no such thing. We just did it all year round.
My grandma doesn't do it as much as you, but she does it sometimes for a gift or something. And then she did it because she lives up in Ohio.
Well, it's colder there.
I came from Wisconsin, near the capital, Madison, Wisconsin. I didn't quite come with the stagecoach or that kind of the, what is it, the, my son, when he used to get mad at me, would ask me what the inside of a covered wagon looked like. I didn't quite come from there, but not too far away. The Indians had more or less just moved out about 10 years ahead of me. We still found many arrows on our farm, and now we still can find them. But this is a shoe of mine, so it does show you where I came from. Button shoes, and we had button hooks that was the only way you could get the buttons on. And if you'd like to see it, fine. Also, my grandmother was very influential in teaching me how to quilt. My mother was from the city, from Madison, Wisconsin, and she only knew how to do real ladylike things, like cook very well, know how to dust, wash, iron, that kind of thing. She was a real lady. But Grandma did all kinds of things, and this is my grandmother's slate. This is the more affluent type of slate, if slates can be for the fancy. Inside, and I see when I came into the room this morning, you were doing your math. Math you usually did at home, and someone at home usually helped you. And you certainly didn't want to do the math over. So that was on the inside. Your spelling was usually done on this side, and that could be carried next to your clothing. So if that rubbed off, that wasn't so bad. But some other subject that you hated was on this side, and then you carried it very carefully, and you did not move your arm across, because when you write with chalk, as well you know, well, you have the chalkboard in the bag, if you rub across it with your clothes, it will disappear. So this was my grandmother's, okay? Then this was my grandmother's apron. And within this, you're going to see a quilt that appears with these kind of things. And this she wore every day. Now, I am dressed, like they did years ago, with the old-fashioned blouse, usually pearls, but usually a cameo. I have a gorgeous cameo, but the fastener on it is not the best. And truthfully, I'm a collector of everything, and so I did not want to lose it today, because how would I know where to backtrack to find it? Also, my skirt is dark. Now, you got a clean blouse, probably every 3 days. But the skirt you wore all week. Now, none of you are caught dead wearing clothes all week, right? But we did. We lived in the country, and we carried all of our water to wash everything in a pail, and you pumped it with a pump. So you did not waste water. And that's why you wore dark. And that's why a lot of things that I'm going to show you are dark, because we did not wash everything every day, clean underwear every day. It's a whole part of your pioneer days. Also, this is from my high school. This is the old-fashioned pen that you had an ink bottle, and then you pumped this and filled it with ink. And this was mine from high school. This is my grandmother's, And we're pretty sure that all pioneer ladies started out with this kind of feast. Remember, they did not go out and buy something new as we do now. This probably was, and I'm going to use the old-fashioned names. This was probably Matilda's, this was Teresa's, this was Nellie's, and this was Annie's. A dress. And these were the good parts of the dress, if you didn't wear it any longer. And then it was put, you know, we called it a rag bag, whatever. And in that box, you, if you wanted to do something, you went to this box and you cut out the good parts. Now this has no patterns, it's just simply squares that were sewed together. But we're sure that this is how the very first quilt started, just with somebody's junk from their clothing, okay? I have an old holder that was given to me. I think it is so homely it would stop a clock, but it is about 120 years old, and it was given to me, and I can't part with it. It's someone drew the chicken, someone didn't know how to put the bias on very well, but they thought it was gorgeous, and so I do. Also, this was a holder of my grandmother's. Most uncomfortable thing in the world, but remember, these ladies did not do things for always comfort. They had very few things, so if something was fascinating to them, they used it. But usually this was over what you call a tea kettle. Any of you know what a tea kettle is? You heat your hot water in it, okay? All right. You have a whistling tea kettle now, don't you? Ours just boiled away and filled the room full of steam. Okay. Then the next patch was a 9-patch. Probably now you saved it from her clothing and hers, and you finally got 9 patches together that looked fairly well. And so we know that that was the first patch. The next patch was the same thing. All I did was tip the corners over. And now the name is Shoe Fly. How did it get that? No one knows, except there is a song, Shoe Fly Pie and Apple Pan Dowdy. So the things came from either songs or things of the time. Had nothing to do with the way the pattern looked. You know, there isn't a fly in the ointment here, okay? How did I start quilting? I was an only child, which means I was kind of bored. My mother didn't quilt. She didn't do any of those things. She just cooked, washed, and ironed. Somehow I knew that that wasn't very fascinating to just do cook, wash, and iron. But Grandma did all kinds of things, and Grandma only lived a half a mile away. So I put on my little button shoes and rubbers. I bet a nickel you don't know what rubbers are. You do? You have lots of rain down here, so you should. So we put our rubbers on, and we went to Grandma's, and she was always quilting. Now that was always on a big frame like this. Just 4 boards. 1x2s. She used Grandpa's C-clamps. And they were put up on 4 chairs. Now some ladies, if their houses were smaller, Grandma happened to have a larger house. If the house was small, this was put on little pulleys and pulled to the ceiling when she didn't work on it. And when she wanted to work on it, she went over to the side of the room, let the little hay rope down, or they were called trip ropes. That's a rope that you use on your boats now. And it was let down to the real level, and then she quilted on it. When she put it on 4 chairs, I was always there. But sometimes we did this, and they didn't like that. You know what happens then? All the spools and all the thimbles and everything falls on the floor because kids poked. Because you laid your thimbles and all your things on here, and if kids did like this, pew, everything went on the floor. So they decided they were going to amuse us. And so my mother would let me pin rags on, and suddenly I decided that was a nice house. And if someone brought their child to quilt, we somehow divided it with a little chair underneath, and that was her side and this was my side. And so we were amused the whole time, and they quilted. Finally, if there was a lady who was missing, or one of my aunts, who everybody lived together, if she was missing or something, one of them did go off to college and she was a teacher. So when she was missing, I could help. And so I helped stretch this quilt onto this frame. And after doing that for couple of years, maybe a year, I decided I'm going to quilt. But you couldn't quilt unless you could quilt well. Because Grandma quilted very well. Remember, she didn't go to PTA. She didn't play bridge. She didn't do a lot of things that your mothers do or that I do now. All she did was cook, wash, iron, and quilt. So she did a very good job of quilting. So unless you could prove that you could quilt, you know what she did? We'd quilt. Well, when we weren't looking, she'd take it all out. She took it all out and put it back. And until you could quilt well enough for it to stay in there, you couldn't quilt. Now, for all of you now, when you do work, we accept it. And we say, that's fine, but your grandmother didn't. It had to be perfect. And if it wasn't, you couldn't quilt on it, okay? Then my first quilt, because these old ladies didn't want you quilting, I decided that I would do a quilt because they always wanted me to do something else. And I didn't always want to do that something else. I'm the same as you are. So I learned to sew, and when I joined was 4-H. Do you have 4-H here?
Yes.
Okay. This is made out of feed sacks. We lived in the country, and this was what either you fed the chickens out of these feed sacks, you know, it's a bag that's full of feed, or maybe it was a flour sack. And your mother washed it and usually had to use lye or bleach or something of that time, and she got all the colors out of the feed sack, and then it was pure white, and then you cut it into squares. And because Mama didn't know how to piece things, I did embroidery work. So I did the embroidery work. But my mother used to be able to dye material. Every other one of these was blue once upon a time. But because I used it for my dolls, for my children, and for my grandchildren, it has been washed so that it has lost all of the blue dye. But this is made out of feed sacks. And I took it to the county fair, and of course I won first prize, right? Why, what else would I tell you? But if you'd like to, we'll pass it around if you want to look at it. And also, I'd like to have you see that we did it with cotton, and you can see little windows where the cotton batting is washed away. But that was what happened to you years ago. Now maybe you'd like to know what happened to Grandma's aprons. She never wasted a thing. So she made what we call the nine patch, put it together, and usually this was used for the guest room or for what we call the hired man. Everybody had a hired man or hired lady. But do you have any idea what salary that they worked for? $1 a day when the farmer had money. In the winter, you did not make any money. So then you had to be happy with just 3 meals a day and be able to stay there, and you did some work to pay for your meals. This room that these people stayed in were usually white calcimine, and that means just the world's worst type of painting. I put this together probably 20 years ago. It was, the top was there, but the back, you know, the batting wasn't on it. And I put it together with red. My daughter now, of course, is more, you know, they're all the kids are fancy now. And she said, what in the world did you put it together with red? I said, because you were the one who wanted me to get out all of Grandma's things. When I do a speech on the history of quilting. And I said, if I'm going to get the history of quilting, this is the way they put it together. This white drab room had no glamour whatsoever, so she tied it in red, and it gave it some bounce. Well, then she said, why did you have to use the blanket stitch on the edge? Because that's all most of them farmer women knew how to do. And so she put a blanket stitch on, one of the oldest stitches there is. But here's all of Grandma's aprons put in there. Now, they're not all alike. She didn't worry if they were beautiful, gorgeous. But anyway, there are all of Grandma's aprons. We'll put it on the rocker, which Grandma sat in a rocker and lost it. Okay? from our town what we call a bride's quilt. And how many know what a bride's quilt is? Okay, if you were the right kind of lady, you should have made 12 quilts. And you probably started when you're 12 years old. And if you didn't quilt, then there was something wrong with you. You know, you didn't fit into society. You made 12 quilts. The 13th one, your mother sent out squares to each one of your very good friends. They did whatever mama told you to, and so evidently this lady told them to everybody, put their favorite bird on, or a bluebird, I don't know, because this is very old, and this is from Austin, and I really don't even know the lady that this belongs to, except I know the family names that are on here, and if I came from Austin, Minnesota, the home of Hormel, which you probably know only as ham or spam. Well, that's where I'm from, okay? And on here are three Hormel names. And the rest are railroad people, because everybody else was so poor that they could hardly afford to do this. So Mama sent out 30 squares to all of your friends. They came back a month before you were going to be married. Somebody put it together. Usually it was Mom and Grandma who put it together. Then they put it on this frame, and then only 8 good quilters came. We didn't have time to take it out. So 8 quilters came the first day and we quilted. After that, we rolled it up, and here it is in a miniature. And we rolled it up. And so we didn't need 8 ladies, because now it was shorter. But by the end of the week, the quilt was done. How long does it take us now? 2-3 years, because we have to pick at it all alone. You never would be caught dead asking somebody to come in and quilt on your quilt now. But this was like your bridge party or your whatever society thing that you did. That was where they had a good time. And what did they do? They came at 8 o'clock in the morning. They brought a sandwich, and the lady of the house served coffee, and she usually made a cake. And it was supposed to be the best recipe that she had and the best frosting. And at the noon table, when you had this lunch, if you didn't ask her for the recipe, she was heartbroken. You quilted all afternoon, and you usually went home at 4 o'clock, because if you did stay, you'd have to quilt by a kerosene lamp, and a lot of people couldn't afford 4 lamps to put the kerosene in, and so you went home. But the next day you came back when it was light, so our whole world was registered with 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the only time that ladies could quilt, because the light was good, okay? But anyway, then this was put together, and the 13th one, the husband had to carry the wife over the threshold with the 13th quilt, and that was her bride's quilt. Usually was one of the better ones, okay?
Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask Mrs. Quinn now? Chris?
How many quilts was
I didn't hear what he said.
How many days would it take if you did an 8-4 to finish a quilt?
1 week. 1 week. But all ladies stayed all day. Yes.
Anybody else have any questions right now?
Yes.
The time that you showed us earlier, the one that you raised, how large is that actually?
Most beds those days were 72 by 86. That quilt fit everything, tough. They didn't know much about measurements. And so if Matilda next door, whatever she did, you did it too. I swear to heavens, if they didn't do it exactly like that, I think they thought it wasn't gonna turn into a quilt. Because lots of times if you ask them, okay, how do you do a grandmother's flower garden? You had to have the center of grandmother's flower garden yellow. You had to have the flowers, the little tiny prints next, and the next was green, and then next you had a white walk, because that was the history of it. And if you didn't do it, that wasn't grandmother's flower garden as far as they're concerned.
Do you like doing it?
I love it. while the potatoes are boiling, or while I make everything in the oven so that I can quickly run and quilt. I was waiting for her this morning. I was out in the garage, and I didn't know exactly what time. Where was I? I was in my sewing room sewing, and my husband had to call and say, look, that lady is there. I do it all the time. If I go to a lecture and I think they're going to be boring, I quilt. If I go to a book review, I still can listen and do it. I go to the beauty shop, I take it with. When I go to and from Florida to Minnesota, when I go back, I do it. When I got on an airplane, I do it. Other questions? Yes.
Do you have
bring a lot of things, but this I did for college. Is this what you mean? Fancies? No, I didn't bring fancies.
It's like each square is quilted separately and then put together.
No, I do not agree with that.
You don't want to do that?
No.
Okay, you said that you quilt them when you go to meetings sometimes, and you carry the whole quilt with you?
No. I am a teacher. I do millions of samples during my lifetime. And I do miniatures most of the time because, as well you can see, it was very hard for me to decide what to bring today. It was very hard to carry all this stuff. We had to get it into her trunk. These things are very heavy. And so I have learned, and I'm not exactly 16 anymore, I have learned I cannot carry it. I used to carry about 3 suitcases full, and I can't stand it. They're just too heavy, so I had to go to miniatures. Everything I do.
Okay, so even with your large quilts, you use a lap frame?
Never. I only brought it because I have to teach that way. I do everything like this. I have frames doll size. I have baby crib size. I have single bed size. I have double bed size, queen size, king size, and I have 3 sets of each because my friends borrow them all the time. And I have a suitcase full of sea clamps. I do. And I know I'm odd, and when I teach, I don't always do that. I have to teach lap method, but truthfully, I make them come to my house, we baste it on here, and then it has all kinds of basings, and then they can do it this way. And I brought it only because, as a teacher, I'm forced to do many things many ways. But you asked me the question, how do I do it? And I answered you how I do it. But I did not answer you how I had the class do it. Okay.
Right. My mother recently bought a lap quilt, but I don't know that she's used it. She has one that she just has set up upstairs.
Right. And where I'm moving, I may have to give in to this. It may kill me, but I may have to. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out in the garage, and I'm still going to have it basted out there. And I'm not positive what I do, but my friends are trying to convince me that I should have one like this.
So your mother just not clutter?
Not really, but I'm not going to be a clutter now.
Put them on the ceiling like your grandmother.
I know, but I'm not going to live forever, so I might... The people who might not like those 4 holes up there.
When Mrs. Brill lived in Minnesota, what do you think she used the quilts for when she lived up there? For warmth. What do you think she uses them for now? Sounds like she's got a lot of quilts.
What do you think I use them for? Okay, tell me.
A hobby?
A hobby? Well, yes, but what do I do with them? You know, hobbies have got to be put someplace. Are they in boxes? That's right. I put them on my table. Lots of my friends, when they come, I have my grandmother's double wedding ring. Now, most people wouldn't be caught dead putting a double wedding ring anywhere other than in the trunk because they don't want it used. That's the worst thing you can do to your quilt. Take it out, use it. I have them on my tablecloth, and as well she knows, I have them in the kitchen on the wall. I have one above my TV that is all roosters. It means I'm a good cook. I don't know if I'm a good cook, but I think so. I have them on the ends of the tables. I have them two or three on the bed. Now it's the way you put the quilt on the bed, then you use another for a pillow sham, and then you use another, and I'm not going to say the word till I show you something. When we made quilts years ago, and this is only a modern one for a doll, because once in a while my granddaughter will say, Grandma, do we have to have it all of the olden stuff? And so I made her a doll quilt. Okay, this is the quilt. This is the pillow sham. Now that wrapped around your pillows because you didn't have very nice pillowcases like you have now. You have pure white or it matches your room. We didn't. Again, most of our pillowcases were these feed sacks. So you covered it up with this pillow sham. Okay, I live in Minnesota where it goes 40 below in the wintertime. We put this on the pillows during the day to make the room look nice and make you think that we're, you know, hotsy-totsy. And at night, we put it on our feet when it's 40 below, and it's called a foot warmer. Now, I also have another rag, which I'm sure you'd call up on the top. Does anybody have any idea what that thing is? That's a mustache protector. For the young man there, I don't think he uses quite the wax that Grandpa did. But Grandpa used a lot of this heavy wax, and I imagine it must have been half lard in those days. And so when he went to bed, he would get the top of the quilt dirty. But also, Mama wore Denver mud. That meant a beauty treatment. And sometimes that didn't all come off. And so she put this piece on the top, which was called a mustache protector. And I have just basted it on there, and that's what Grandma did. She basted that on, put on. This was washed once a month. This was washed probably only every 2 years. Now that's going to throw you for a loop. Well, I was very interested when I went to Houston, the old quilts that were there, and I offered to be a guide. And the old quilts, I asked, okay, how come this one is this, and this one is not in such good shape? And you know what they had to answer me? We found those who weren't washing them to death, we still have them. But the ones that you washed all the blessed time, they look exactly like this thing of mine, which I went to college with. And this was my bedspread. It was gorgeous. My roommate did the same one. And so our room was really affluent looking. My son comes along, and he's going to college, and he has a bunk bed, and it didn't suit him. What did he do to my quilt? He cut it off to fit. He didn't care that I'd worked my heart on it. But I can't give it up, rags or no rags. This was mine when I went to college. Happens to them.
We've got a couple of more minutes. Does anybody have any more questions that they'd like to ask about the quilts?
How thick? Oh, that reminds me. This is a typical one from Minnesota. I made three of them for a museum and one for a home that they were going to reproduce into antiques. And if you take a hold of it.
Sure.
This is so heavy that when the kids were in bed, they couldn't get out. No, I'm kidding. But this was all your old coats, your old suits, whatever. The only thing I did was put red on the outside so that it would give it some glamour. And these, the batting, if you tied it, should be 2 to 2 1/4 inches thick. You could not quilt that, but you tied it. But that was used for winter. The others were sometimes used flannel. Sometimes you use two pieces of flannel, and probably was that thick.
Would you like to come up and hold it, since you asked?
And I don't know why I don't travel with a whole bunch. It's because the thing is heavy.
Hey, it's strong, it is.
Looks heavy.
Right. Now, this is an old hole pattern. It can be called log cabin or pineapple. And she asked me the question, why didn't I bring a lot of other quilts? I do miniatures. Okay, here's the doll in the brass bed, which we have. And there's the miniature in a round one. That's the more modern look. You know, I have to stay modern if I'm going to teach. And then here is the old-fashioned one, miniature for that one. Okay. And on the bottom, these were done with ropes. And my next project, if I ever come back, I'm going to have a bed strung with rope with spools so that you know what the old-fashioned bed is like. We did not have mattresses. And then you took all old material and you took straw or nice grass or pine needles or whatever and filled them. Okay. Here is a modern pattern. I brought it. And if someone wants to watch me quilt, this is called Stack Bricks. And this is one of the last lessons that I taught. And this is an old pattern, again in a miniature, grandmother's fan. Now there is a mystique about quilting. Every one of the quilts, if done properly, should have a purposeful mistake. If you make a sailboat, turn a couple of the sails the wrong way, and then it drives out all the evil spirits. But you know what my students do? Let's see, I did that wrong. That's my mistake. But it really wasn't meant that way. You were supposed to purposely do it, not accidentally do it. Okay?
Feel special about quilting someone.
Right. And all Amish people definitely make one a mistake. I had another one, but I don't think the two of us could have traveled with anymore. Is I put one of the fans in the wrong way, but we just couldn't carry any more today. But I do have one with the fan the wrong way.
I think we need to stress that every bit is done by hand. Yeah.
Yes.
Here.
You want to pass this one around? You can see the tiny stitches on this one.
All of those pieces are stitched together by hand. That little one that you're looking at, there's all those little tiny, tiny squares. Every one of those squares are separate. They're all pieced together. And then after they're pieced together, then they're put back.
And there's the crazy quilt. And there's the crazy quilt that was all of your grandmother's things. Okay, I'm going to show you what I look like quilting.